Good morning to everyone here today. It's lovely to be here. We're just telling some of the folk here that we drove the car here today, but it took us, 4 minutes to use? We live just over there. We should have walked, but nevertheless, that's good. Excuse me. I'm knocking things around. Okay, let's just pray before we come to the Word of God, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to look at your word again this morning. Father, help us to have listening ears and open hearts as we come to your word. Lord, we pray today that you might encourage us. Lord, you might challenge us, convict us if necessary. But Father, we just ask that you might be glorified as we meet together and really understand something of the truth that your word gives us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, today I thought it would be good to speak on the subject of a life of hope. It's really interesting because in English we use the word hope all the time, don't we? And I looked up the Britannica dictionary. You can go online and get lots of dictionaries. But this was the definition of hope in the Britannica dictionary. To want something to happen or be true and to think that it could happen or be true. And I guess quite a few of the other English dictionaries have a similar definition of hope. And of course, that's not anything like the definition of hope in the Bible. And it's interesting because the moment we talk about hope, sometimes, even as Christians, we get this idea, well, I do hope it's going to happen. But it really is a thing of assurance. I can remember when my wife and I travelled out west to a little place called Thallon. Some of you may know where Thallon is, near St George, and not too far away, to meet up with an old schoolmate out there on a property. My dad was the principal of the school out there many years ago when I was very small. I think I started in grade 2 out there. But just to meet up with them. But when we got there to their property, it was really, really dry. It hadn't rained for a long time. And they were hoping for rain. And of course, it did rain after that, thankfully. And we got back again to the Thallon area for another reason, and it was really, really green. So sometimes the things that we hope for here in this life happen, sometimes they don't. But I want to tell you that in God's word, when we talk about the hope of eternal life, yes, it's going to happen for sure. There's no doubt about that at all. This section of scripture in our first point, and the first point is a hope that anchors the soul. A section of scripture in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about those things that should accompany salvation. And he goes on and says, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. Let me just read that again. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. And it goes on to say, having been a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's not up on the screen, but that's what it was. That's what it was talking about. So this hope that we have anchors the soul. This is a beautiful metaphor, a strong metaphor. And the writer of the Hebrews uses this to really assure the people that this hope that is a hope of things to come is not only something that encourages us, but it really anchors the soul. It anchors our Christian experience. For Christians sometimes, friends, we go through difficult times. The whole process of eternal life from salvation through to glory seems a bit daunting at times. And at times it is. But we know that we have the Lord Jesus with us. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And we have God with us the whole time. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. But we need to focus on those things that are eternal. focus on those things that come from our relationship with Jesus. So this hope that anchors the soul is a hope knowing that the security of our salvation is also there. I love those verses that were read this morning from Romans chapter 8. That would have to be one of my favourite passages. As a matter of fact, I haven't memorised large passages of Scripture, but that particular passage or part of that I have memorised. And sometimes when I put my head down the pillow and I'm feeling tired and just about to go to sleep, and I usually pray, but then sometimes those verses come to me and I just recite them quietly in my mind. Incredible comfort, because those of us who've trusted Jesus, who know him personally, we have that assurance that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that wonderful security of our salvation. We do sin, of course, and we had a prayer of confession at the beginning of the service, that we need to keep short accounts with God, we need to confess our sins and move on with him. But this hope that anchors the soul is an incredible thing. And the hope that anchors the soul is something that we need not only to hold on to, but to share with others. We're going to look at that in a moment too. I want to just talk for a moment about something that we all know very well. But let me just talk about when Jesus was here on earth and just follow through that story. After Jesus entered this world, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived a sinless life and fulfilled his ministry and work here on earth. He was crucified. He died in our place and took the punishment for our sin. He was placed in the grave, and the third day he rose again in glorious victory. In his glorified body, he appeared to many, sometimes many at the one time. He ascended to the Father, and he entered within the veil. That's what this verse tells us. He entered in the veil, within the veil, as a forerunner for us. He entered into the Holy of Holies, of course, in the presence of God, so he's at the right hand of the Father. But he's our representative. He's our representative in every part of his life, and our representative now in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible tells us we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We're secure within the veil with Jesus, because Jesus is there on our behalf. Wonderful thing, the wonderful truth. Jesus is there on our behalf. It's also important for us to understand that as we look up and as we think about the Lord Jesus coming back, as we think about what's going to happen when he does come back, it gives us great security, and that anchors the soul, this hope that we have. I want to just for a moment just talk about that beautiful verse that we have in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let me read it again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope go hand in hand. They're not exactly the same, but they go hand in hand. That faith is that unconditional faith in the promises of God in his word, as we trust him for salvation right through life. But hope is the patient waiting for an assured outcome. Hope is the patient waiting for an assured outcome. Romans 8, 24, 25, we had that passage, or a larger portion of the passage, read to us. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That's the Christian hope. That's the blessed hope. And as we, as believers, go through this life, we need to live our lives for him now. We have families. It's lovely to see families here today. It's lovely to hear babies talking and crying a little. Thank you. That's beautiful. And as we live our lives for the Lord Jesus in our families, in our work situations, whether we're studying or working, whatever we're doing, and we go through life, we need to focus on those things. But our primary focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus. He lives within us, certainly, but he's coming back. Our primary focus needs to be the fact that the Lord is coming again. And I want to really push that hard this morning. I'm sure you know that's true, but sometimes in life we forget to start looking up. Some incredible verses in the Word of God that give us strength and hope each day. Secondly, in the message today, this is a purifying hope. Not just a hope that anchors the soul and just gives us that total assurance of who we are and who we are going to be when the Lord Jesus comes. But it's a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's a promise from God, a promise from God's word. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We won't be deity like Jesus or God, but we will be sinless when we go to be with Jesus. That's pretty hard to get our minds around that, isn't it? We're living in a sinful world. We're sinners saved by grace, the wonderful grace of God, through faith, as the Bible says in Ephesians. But it's a wonderful truth that we will be like him in that sense of being sinless when we go to be with him. We shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. In verse 1 and the first part of verse 2 of this passage, not shown on the screen, John talks about this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. What we shall be, of course, is children of God with the Lord Jesus for eternity. Regardless of what our eschatology is, we know that we're going to be with him. That's a wonderful truth. John is saying to his readers and to us here this morning, for those of us who have genuinely trusted Jesus, and I want to stress that, those who've genuinely trusted Jesus, those who've repented and entered into a life-changing relationship with the Son of God, we are on a journey of faith. And you know, this journey of faith is so important for us to just place that in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Claiming victory, this journey of faith, as we go on this journey of faith, we claim victory over the evil one. We put off the old life, allowing God to fill us with his Spirit. Holy Spirit already lives within us if we know Jesus. But the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to allow God to take every part of our lives. We need to make the Lord Jesus Lord of our lives. Unfortunately, as we said earlier, we still sin at times. Even though habitual sin shouldn't ever be part of our lives, we do make mistakes. We need to keep short accounts with God and confess known sin. But here is the good news. We should be eagerly waiting and watching for the return of the Lord Jesus. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Won't that be a great day? A great day when we see Jesus face to face. Now let me say this. When we're young Christians and we have families like many people here this morning, when we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus, I'm sure we get excited about it, but we really have to live our life for our families and live it for God down here. and move on with what he's got for us now. Now, that's very, very important. But we must never stop looking up. We must never stop looking up. I remember when I was in my 20s, and I can't remember exactly how old I was, but probably mid to late 20s. And we already had a little family at that stage. And I remember at one stage in my life just being a little uncertain about what I should get really excited about in terms of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. After all, ahead of me was what I was doing, my work situation. This is before we were called into ministry. And as I was working and as we had our family with us, just looking, I was focused ahead. Certainly we were involved with the church and those sort of things. But it really hit me one day. I'm not sure whether it was a passage of scripture or a friend that shared something with me. I don't know. But the Lord really said to me very clearly, hey, start getting excited about being with me. After this is over, after your journey is over, and you see me face to face, get excited about that. So I prayed about that specifically. Prayed about it specifically. And you know what? God answers that sort of prayer. He really does. God answers our prayers always. Sometimes it's wait a while. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes he answers really quickly. But those sort of prayers, he just answers because he knows it's important for us. And that really changed my life in terms of my Christian experience, just with an understanding of I needed to keep watching and waiting. The Apostle Paul was doing that way back then. And you and I need also to get excited about that. Lots are happening in the world now, isn't there? There's lots of conflict in the world, and we don't know how long it is before the Lord Jesus comes back. This could be just a kind of a run-up to the last times. We don't know. It could be longer yet. But whatever the case, we need to keep looking up and waiting for the Lord Jesus. When he comes, when he's revealed, we shall be like him. This purifying hope is knowing that this is going to happen and looking forward to the day of his appearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As we said earlier, we can't be holy in that sense of being sinless, but that's what this purifying hope is all about. The Bible tells us that as we have this hope of going to be with Jesus and being like him, that helps us to live our lives for the Lord Jesus now, to set ourselves apart, to put aside the things that don't please God, to act like people who know and love Jesus, to speak like people who know and love Jesus, not to use the language of the world, to keep short accounts with God, confessing our sin in an ongoing way and displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So it's a purifying hope. It helps us to be more like Jesus now so that when we get to be with Jesus, that will be fully accomplished and we can get very excited about that as we live our lives for him now. So it's a hope that anchors the soul. It gives us that assurance of who we are. It's a hope that purifies us. It's a purifying hope, or makes us more like Jesus anyway. And thirdly, it's a hope to be shared. A hope to be shared. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking about godly living and telling his readers that if they suffer for the sake of righteousness, they are blessed. And then he goes on in verse 15. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Gentleness and reverence. Friends, this hope of being with Jesus and being like Jesus motivates evangelism. Very, very important that we, each one of us, are involved in personal evangelism in some way. maybe just a quiet way. But that's another challenge for us today. I want to bring a strong challenge to you this morning to really pray that God would give you opportunity to share your faith, that God would give you opportunity to perhaps in a quiet way, live for the Lord Jesus in a way that shows your neighbours that you're different, shows our neighbours that we're different. We got neighbours too. And in this verse, and I want to share these four things with you, and if you're taking notes, you may not be, that's all right, but if you're taking them, there's four very important points in this verse that help us know how to share the hope that is in us, to share our faith and help touch the lives of others. Firstly, sanctify Christ as Lord. That is, have that central place in your heart for Jesus. That central place. Have that central place in your heart for Jesus. Keep Jesus as Lord of your life. Secondly, always be ready. Be prepared. Don't go on holidays about evangelism. It can actually happen on holidays. Evangelism can take place very clearly on God's appointment. Very clearly on God's appointment. I can remember many years ago now, I was, it's not that long after we were married, but I was working out at the, where's the university from here? Back there somewhere? Over here? Okay. I was working at the university out here. What wasn't called a university in those days, I think it was the Darling Downs Institute of Advanced Education. Does that sound right? Yeah. Anyway, I was working there. I was trained when I left high school as a graphic artist, a designer, and I was working at the university, working on some of their education materials, their booklets and stuff like that, as well as doing lots of other art stuff. That's how I started out. And anyway, there was a student group there at the university. I was talking to Sam about some of those things earlier, those groups that are so important. And there was a student group there, and I used to try and get to some of their meetings and be a witness. And they were showing a film, and it was in an auditorium there at the university, and it was a Christian film. And so I got there a bit early, and I'd been praying. I hadn't been witnessing too much at the university. I said, Lord, I'd really love to witness to somebody and share my faith with somebody. And anyway, I came down to, I think, about the fourth front seat. I think it was one of those auditoriums on a slope, those lecture theatres probably. And I was sitting there. All of a sudden, I heard thump, 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 thump. And there was this guy came down. He was walking on the seats as he came down the front, those plastic seats. And he was thump, thump, thump down the seats. And he thumped. And he sat right beside me. As a young man from Sabah, Malaysian Borneo, at the university. And he sat down, and we were in this auditorium, ready to watch this film, and the first thing he did was ask me questions about spiritual things. I couldn't believe it. God answered that prayer very quickly for me because I was concerned that I wasn't witnessing. He became a friend of ours. I invited him home to our place. He became a Christian and went back to Borneo. We never heard from him after that time. It was a political situation, I think, and he'd come to study, and he was going back to a situation where it may not have been easy for him to be a Christian. But whatever the case, he genuinely came to Jesus. And you know, those opportunities will be there for us. Not exactly like that, but God will ordain the opportunities. God will ordain them in such a way that you'll be amazed at how he wants to share his love for others through you. So always be ready, be prayerful, have our quiet times, be led by the Spirit of God. And I know with a busy life, it's hard to have a quiet time that's any length of time. My wife and I are retired, been retired for nine years, and we can have longer periods of quiet time with God, and we have a joint time, of course. But we must have our quiet times. We must allow God to touch us through his word each day and pray. And then it tells us to make a defense. Now, I know not every translation uses that word, but it's an important word, actually. So sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready. Make a defense. The Greek word is apologia. We get our word apologetics from this Greek word. And it's not just a sharing of our faith. It is really talking about giving an account that can show that God is real. God is real in our lives, and God is real. Even looking at creation and being an apologist for God, and so that's important too. That in our witnessing, that we ask God to help us to be equipped in a simple way, just to share our faith with those around us. We don't have to be a theologian. We don't have to go to theological college or Bible college to witness. We just have to be ready for when God wants to use us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me tell you another story. I was reading about Alexander McLaren. Some of you may know him if you like to read a bit of history about Christianity and stuff, but Alexander McLaren was born in Glasgow many, many years ago. He was a Baptist minister. He was a Scottish Baptist minister, but spent most of his time in Manchester in England at a Baptist church. His life of ministry was there. He came out to Australia apparently in 1889, I think. He wasn't very well, but he came out to Australia and spoke. He went to New Zealand as well. However, this is the story. A skeptic promised British preacher Alexander McLaren that he would attend his church for four Sundays on which McLaren would be presenting the main tenets of Christianity. The skeptic listened intently to McLaren's sermons. After the fourth message, he presented himself for church membership, saying he had received Christ as his saviour. Alexander McLaren was delighted and could not resist the impulse to ask which of the four sermons brought him to this decision. But this was his reply. The skeptic replied, "Your sermons, sir, were helpful, but they were not what finally persuaded me." He said that after church one Sunday, as he was helping an elderly lady on a slippery walk, she looked up into his face and said, "I wonder if you know my Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is everything in the world to me. I would like you to know him too." The skeptic said, "That remark sent me home, where on my knees I found Christ for myself." I get a bit teary each time I share the story, because here was a dear lady whose claim to fame spiritually was that she knew and loved Jesus and wanted this guy to know Jesus too. Well, you can imagine, I'm sure Alexander McLaren was pleased, but he may have been really hoping that he'd come to Christ through those sermons. But rather than that, it was a lady who faithfully served and faithfully wanted to share her faith with others. Friends, this morning I believe there's people in this church who want to faithfully share their faith. It's people in this church who perhaps have been sharing their faith in a personal way like that. And maybe our prayer this morning should be, "Lord, give me an opportunity in the next week or a couple of weeks, give me an opportunity just to share with someone about your love for them, so that they too might come to Jesus." And friends, in God's appointment, can almost guarantee that God will open up opportunities like he opens up opportunities for every one of us. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That word abound simply means that. It means abundance. It means over and above. And that's the sort of supply of hope that we can have with the Lord Jesus. Friends, I wonder if just as we close in prayer, we're just going to have a silent time so that we can respond to the word of God this morning. We can respond to God in our own personal way. Just a quiet, prayerful time. And then I'll finish after that. Let's just all pray silently and quietly to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the life that you've allowed us to live here. And thank you that you have a will and purpose for us, each one of us here today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you bless us abundantly, even though we do go through difficult times, maybe times of illness, maybe times of financial stress, maybe times that are challenging with family, maybe just tough times. But Lord, we know that through all these things, you've promised never to leave us or forsake us, and that you'll bless us and that you'll see us through. But Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for that blessed hope. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. Praise his name. And our Father, today, I want to pray for the church here. I want you to, Lord, I really would love you to bless this church in a special way as they go on for you. Thank you for each one of them. Lord, we want to thank you for Doug and his wife and family. We want to thank you for the elders and leaders here in the church. We want to thank you for every person who attends. And Father, today, just lift them above the worldly things and bless them abundantly, we pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen.